Bible is meant to produce a specific reaction in us. For example, when we read about the love of God, that should produce in us love for God. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. Then there's the wisdom of God. The more we study the wisdom of God, the more we should become wise. That is the appropriate reaction. Today we look at another great truth in the Bible that will produce, or should produce, a specific reaction in us, and it has to do with God. There are a variety of attributes of God, the holiness of God, the truth of God, the power of God. But tonight we look at one, this morning we look at one of the most serious and staggering ones of all, the wrath of God. There is no more serious truth in the Bible than this subject. A professor of mine from seminary wrote a book entitled The Wrath of Heaven. And that is what we're looking at this morning. The wrath of God from heaven. In summary, it is this. Man is bad and God is mad. Now that's not just a clever rhyming thing, but it's man is sinful and therefore God is angry with us because of our sins. I want all of you to listen very closely to this morning's message. I want your children to listen very closely this morning. I want you older people and everybody in between, male and female, all of us to listen closely to this morning's message. Open your Bibles to the key verse on the subject this morning in Romans chapter 1. As we go through the book of Romans, we see how God has prepared this in a very wise way. Paul says he is going to preach the gospel. And now he begins to tell us the problem, and then he tells us the answer. The problem is we're sinners under the wrath of God. And the answer to that is the gospel, which tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for the next chapter or so, Paul tells us about this great problem. He sums it up there in verse 18 of chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Paul uses the term the wrath of God, but it's not just Paul. Let us never think, well, that's just his opinion. He was just another man, and if I don't like it, I can just move on. No. This is the Word of God. God is speaking through Paul. He gave him these words. So when you read this, it's as if God Himself is saying, my wrath is revealed from heaven. So it's God Himself that warns us of the wrath of God. This is not the opinion of a man. This is what God Himself is telling us. So what then does God mean by this awesome phrase, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven? It has to do with His holiness. The holiness of God. God is pure. The Bible says God is light. The angels cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so to understand the wrath of God, we have to understand the holiness of God. And these are not popular subjects. When was the last time you read a political editorial about the holiness of God? When was the last time you heard a sermon about the wrath of God? It's not a popular subject. But it's in the Word of God, and it's my awesome duty, primarily to God, to preach this message to you. So to understand the wrath of God, we have to begin to understand the holiness of God. Let me explain it like this. Go back in your minds, if you're able, back to eternity past when there was only God. The Bible says the very first word, in the beginning, God. Before He created the heavens and the earth, before He created the angels, before there was anything except God, there was God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He was loving, He was wise, He was powerful, He was holy within Himself. Before even creation began, God was holy, holy, holy. And at that time, there was no wrath. There was no wrath of God because there was no occasion for it. He was burning in His internal holiness and purity. There was no sin. Therefore, there was no wrath. And then God created the universe. And it was good. He says, "Behold, it is very good." And then sin came in. And that provided the occasion for the wrath of God. Before that, there was holiness. Now sin attacked that holiness, and holiness fought back. There was a reaction in God to the very first entrance of sin with Satan and with Adam and Eve. And now the holiness of God is offended. Sin triggered the reaction in God called the wrath of God. John Stott defined this phrase, the wrath of God, as His holy hostility to evil. You see, it is a holy wrath of God. Not God losing His temper or flying off the handle. It's His reaction to sin. J.B. Phillips, in his translation of the New Testament, renders it holy anger. John Murray, a great theologian, said this, "Wrath is the holy revulsion of God's being against that which contradicts His holiness." The word wrath means anger. You don't hear that much more. You'll hear about someone getting angry, but you rarely hear about wrath. But it's a Bible word, and it's a true one. The word wrath means anger. But not just another anger. It's an intense anger, an intense hatred. It's an emotional antipathy to something. It is fury. It is indignation. All of that and much, much more. In fact, I wonder if any human word can adequately define or describe what God says in this verse here, the wrath of God. God is holy, and sin lights His fuse. And throughout history, we see sparks flying from that fuse. That's why it says it's being revealed already. But one day, the dynamite will explode with all the force of divine holiness and power. That's why God warns us of the wrath of God. People will deny it now, but the fuse is lit, and God has already given us evidence that it will explode one day. The Bible often will describe God's wrath as being kindled. The other day I went through over 200 verses in the Bible that use the word wrath. And frequently it says, God says, "My wrath is kindled." That means it's set ablaze. Like a stick of dynamite, set aflame. Also, there are verses where God says, "They provoked me to wrath." In other words, they lit my fuse. They are daring me to get angry. Sin lights God's fuse. So you see, the wrath of God is not some capricious, willy-nilly thing where God says, "Well, I think I'll get angry and there's no cause for it." No, it has cause. There was a rationale behind this. The wrath of God is just and holy. And God's got every reason in the universe to be angry. It is not that God loses His temper. It is not a temper tantrum. It is well calculated by God, and it is well deserved by us. You see, it is a wise wrath. It is a holy wrath. It is a just wrath. Now, in most ways, it is not like our anger. We tend to think of these things and compare them to ourselves. And we think, angry. Boy, I got angry the other day. Someone cut in front of me at the stoplight or something like that. And you get angry and you say, "Is God like that?" Or you see some angry dog at the end of its tether just straining to get at you. And you say, "That dog's angry. Is God like that?" And we often think, well, the wrath of God, that sounds something irrational. And we're embarrassed when we lose our temper. Still, there are times when we experience something like the wrath of God. It might be very small, but it's something like that. Think closely, friends. Don't you sometimes feel a good anger at something? For example, not so much when someone hurts you, but when someone hurts someone that is dear to you, how would you react? This week I read in the paper about a man, I think he was in Florida, that went into a bar, I believe, or a restaurant, and he went up to a man, he had stalked the man, found out who he was, and he got him up against the wall, and he pulled a gun. And he said, "You raped my wife. This is for my wife." Now, it was because he was angry at that man because of what he had done to his wife. I'm not justifying everything in what the man did. But sometimes we feel a holy anger because of something someone has done to someone that's dear to us. How would you parents feel if some sexual pervert kidnapped and abused your child? How would you feel if some dope fiend robbed and killed your mother for a handful of change or just to have fun? You'd say, "That's not right." And it's not right. From time to time, I read about such crimes in the newspaper and I hit my fist on the table and I say, "That's not right. That guy ought to be caught and punished severely." That is just a small dose of something that reflects the wrath of God. So you see, even we experience something like righteous indignation when we see something that is dead wrong and something in us is revolted by that and says something has to be done about that. But that's how it is with God in a far greater degree. You see, we will react when someone that is dear to us is assaulted or affected like that. And something in us, because we love them, strikes back. Now, what is it in God that has been attacked? His creatures? Yes, but something greater than that. God's holiness has been attacked. And God is jealous for His holiness. And when His holiness has been spat upon by sinful men, God's holiness and His anger and His power reacts in a jealous way to come to the defense of His holiness. Now, someone might say, "Preacher, you're exaggerating all this." You know how people are. They say, "Well, preachers," you know how preachers are. They kind of exaggerate things. They get a little overly dramatic. You know how they are. They kind of overdo things to get a reaction. Friends, I could never exaggerate the wrath of God. I could read you all these Bible verses. I could stand up here day after day. I could stand up here 10 hours a day for the rest of my life reciting these verses. I could explain it to you in Hebrew and in Greek and in Latin if necessary. I could give you all sorts of stories explaining this. I could sing about it. I could talk about it. But there's one thing I could never do. In my wildest dreams, I could never exaggerate the wrath of God any more than an astronomer could over-exaggerate the size of the universe. He could say, "It's big. It's big, big, big. It's huge. It's enormous." He could never overestimate or exaggerate the size of the universe. And this poor preacher could never, in his wildest imaginations, exaggerate the infinite wrath of God. Now then, there are many people that deny this whole subject. We call them liberals. Some of them pretend to be Christians. If they are honest, they admit that they are not Christians. And so when you talk about the wrath of God, they say, "How crude, how Neanderthal, how medieval. The wrath of God, oh tut tut. You don't really believe in that old-fashioned idea of the anger of God." And they condescendingly look down upon us. And they say, "Oh, that was maybe some fears of these nomadic Jews out there. But we know better today." And they laugh at this and say, "How uncivilized." Some of the theologians have little tricks that they play, and they are just tricks, whereby they try to redefine them. I heard about one of them a few years ago, and it sounded so profound. The preacher said something like, "The wrath of God is the love of God." No. The wrath of God is not the love of God. The love of God is that which draws us to Himself in patience and kindness. The wrath of God is God's intent to punish sinners, not to bestow love, but to vent His holy anger upon them. The wrath of God is not the love of God. Other ones will say, "Well, yes, the Bible talks about the wrath of God, but, you know, it's like these preachers that exaggerate." They say the Bible uses this idea as a useful fiction. And you say, "Say what?" And they say, "Well, it's like this. Sometimes a parent, because he loves his child, will kind of overdo things and will pretend to be angry. Or will pretend, 'I'm going to walk out and leave you.' But it's all just a pretense. The parent just loves the child. But by knowing, by doing this little game, the child will relent and be sorry and come and say, Mama, I'm sorry. And they say, well, that's how it is with Paul and Isaiah and all these other people. They say, God's not really angry, but these prophets and apostles, they're kind of playing a little game like this with us. And therefore, they don't really mean that God is angry. But that's not true either. That whole idea is an accusation against God, saying God is lying. God never lies. In fact, it's those that deny this that are the liars. You see, this is a real wrath of God. It is not imaginary. It's not make-believe. When God says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, He means business. He is telling us the truth in words that we can read for ourselves. So what is the wrath of God? The wrath of God is that internal emotional reaction of God in His holiness as He responds to sin. The sin of man. You see, He is offended by sin. God just doesn't say, oh, that's sorry, those people that did that, they didn't know any better. Boys, we boys know. If that's what you think God's reaction to sin is, you don't know God. The very first time anybody ever sinned against God, something welled up within God's holiness. Anger. He was offended by it. It was as if God said, they have sinned against Me. Against their Creator that owns them and has given them everything they own. And these puny little creatures, they should be groveling before Me in thanksgiving that I have not annihilated them. And they dare to sin against Me, against God, against the holiness of God. God is offended by sin and God is angry. You see, it's an emotional reaction against sin. And we trifle with that. And we try to deny it, we don't realize the enormity of our guilt or the holiness of God. So God is offended by this. You see, it's not just the action of God here that's in view. It's the attitude of God that produces an action. And the attitude of God is one of intense hatred against sin and against the sinners that do it. You know, sometimes we come up with little jingles that try to soft pedal this and say, well, you know, God loves the sinner but hates the sin. Not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, God hates the sin and the sinner. Sin is not just some ethereal thing out there that God hates, but, oh, well, He loves the sinner. No, no, no. God hates the sinner. God is angry with the sinner. Not just the sin. He is angry with the sinner. God is offended by them both. And it's this emotional response that produces the action whereby God says, I will punish the sinners. In fact, you look up Bible verses, you find various ways that God describes this. One of the verses in the Old Testament is staggering, where God says, in My anger, He says, I am sharpening My sword. Whew, what a picture. Like a butcher sharpening his knives, or like a old-fashioned barber stropping his razor, saying, I'm angry and I'm getting ready for the slaughter. He says, in My wrath, I am sharpening the sword. Let's listen closely to some of the Bible verses on this. Now, there are many, many on this, but I have selected a couple of dozen. So sit and listen very closely to what God Himself says. 2 Samuel 22:8. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken because He was angry. 2 Kings 22:13. Great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us. 2 Kings 23:26. The Lord did not turn from the fierceness of His great wrath with which His anger was aroused. 2 Chronicles 28:11. The fierce wrath of the Lord is upon us. Ezra 8:22, His power and His wrath are against all those who forsake Him. Job 21:20-30, let Him drink of the wrath of the Almighty, for the wicked are reserved for the day of doom. They shall be brought out on the day of wrath. Psalm 21:9, you shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in His wrath. Psalm 78:49, He cast on them the fierceness of His anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of destruction among them. Psalm 90:11, who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you is, so is your wrath. Isaiah 13:13, Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Jeremiah 10:10. The Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. Jeremiah 21:5. I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and fury and great wrath. There's a passage in Ezekiel that is especially vivid. Ezekiel 22, verses 20 to 22 and 31. As men gather silver, bronze, iron, lead, and tin in the midst of a furnace to blow fire upon it, to melt it, so I will gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yes, I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in its midst. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury on you. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Nahum 1:2. God is jealous and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. How do you respond to these verses? Some people hear these kinds of verses and say, well, those are all from the Old Testament. And they cook up this myth that says the Old Testament God was a God of wrath, but the New Testament God is a God of love. And they're two different gods. We know better. That was then, this is now. Oh, yeah? Let me continue with some Bible verses. You see, the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. Romans 2:5. In accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Colossians 3:6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Revelation 14:10. He shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out in full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And friends, I have only gathered a few verses from the Bible on this subject. God tells us over and over and over again that he is angry against sin. Many verses on this. The wrath of God, the anger of God, the holy indignation of God. He describes it. He talks about it in the future. He warns us about it. The verse before us here in Romans says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now, how is it revealed? First, God has occasionally thrown some of this wrath into history. You could say that it's like there's a huge pot that's on a fire cooking. The wrath of God, and every now and then God just tips a little bit and some of it spills into the world. It's revealed about the wrath of God. And the Bible gives us instances of this in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New. Two or three of them stand out. One of the first examples of the wrath of God being revealed from heaven onto earth was the flood. Back in the book of Genesis. Remember, it says the world was filled with violence and with wickedness, and God's patience was running short. And so God told Noah, get your family, get the animals, and get on that boat, because I'm going to flood the world. You know, we tell our children the story of the flood, and we try to say, you know, here come the animals dancing two by two onto the ark. And we try to make it a nice, funny little story, and we have little songs about it, and we miss the whole point. What was the point of the flood? The point of the flood is when God killed everybody on the earth except eight people. He drowned them. Why? The wrath of God. So what God did was he saved eight people on the ark, and he flooded the world as a sign of his judgment and his anger. And it came down not by just little raindrops. It came flooding down from heaven like an upside down volcano. It flooded the world. And they knew that God was angry. Then you turn to Genesis 19. You see another example of the wrath of God literally coming down from heaven. Not water, but fire. You see, there are these towns called Sodom and Gomorrah. And that they were wicked. Of course, the whole world is wicked, but it says that these were exceedingly wicked. It was a place of homosexuality and vice. And God said, enough! And so he sent two angels into the city to grab, again, another family, Lot and his family. And the angels said, get out, because the Lord is going to rain fire and brimstone upon these cities. And they hesitated and they tried to cut a deal. And finally, it says in the Bible, look it up, it says the angels literally grabbed them and said, flee for your lives. And they had to drag them out of the city. And he says, run for your lives and don't look back. And as they got out of the city, God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven. And it drowned them in a flood of fire. And the Bible says this smoke went up like a smoke out of a furnace. The wrath of God. Who says that God's not angry? Then in the book of Numbers, we read another story. God had delivered Israel out of his love. And now they're showing their gratitude by worshiping pagan idols. And they're rebelling against God and against God's leader, Moses. And they said, Moses, you've taken too much upon yourself. We want to worship in the way we want to worship. We want to go back to Egypt. All in favor say aye. We're going to overthrow Moses. And God stepped in. He says, out of the way, Moses. And he saw the rebellion of this man, Korah, and all the people following him, just shaking their fist at God. And God didn't even listen to their little petition or their arguments. You know what God did? They were there arguing with Moses. And then a rumbling happened. An earthquake. And they were wondering what in the world is happening. And then the whole ground just opened up. And the Bible says it swallowed up all these rebellious sinners. And it just closed up again. And it says they went to hell alive. The wrath of God. Don't play games with the holiness of God. He means business. The wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness. Also, God tells us in other ways, through nature, that He is there and that He is real and that He is angry with us. You see, the next few verses talk about what we call general revelation. The things we can learn about God through nature. A beautiful sunset tells us of the glory of God, and the tenderness of the animals tell us about the love of God and things like that. The wisdom of God is shown in the intricacy of the universe. But there's things that God has put into the universe that tell us about the wrath of God. Storms. I have experienced several hurricanes firsthand down in New Orleans. Earthquakes. Volcanoes. Natural disasters. Every one of these is a reminder to us. It's God, as it were, shaking us, saying, I am angry with you. This is a sign of my holy anger. Lightning is a good example. Next time you hear lightning and see the lightning and hear the thunder, think of the symbolism. It's coming down as a reminder. Sharp, filled with energy. The wrath of God will be like that. It'll strike His enemies in an irresistible power. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And it's revealed continuously. The verb here is in the continuous sense. It is continually being revealed from heaven. Why? Because God is continuously angry and getting more angry the longer we live and the more that there are sins being accumulated in the history of the world. And God is angry with individuals. Listen to this verse, Psalm 7:11. And if there is ever a verse calculated to strike holy fear in the heart of a sinner, it's this verse. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. We are wicked. Has it ever occurred to you, friends, every day, since the moment you were conceived, since the day of your birth, you've been in sin, and God has been angry with you. We like to think, oh, God loves me. He's being patient. This is a nice little world. You forget that there's still a hidden wrath of God. It's not all revealed.
God has been angry with you. If you are still in your sins, if you are not yet converted, God is angry with you. He's been angry with you. He is angry with you this very moment because of your sin. But why does God reveal it? We're not told here, but we see elsewhere in Scripture. Why does God give us these signs, these stories in the Bible, these unusual instances that remind us? Why? To warn us. Because although God is angry with our sins, He is patient and He is calling us to repent lest we suffer the wrath of God. He is warning us. The source of the wrath of God is the holiness of God. The target of the wrath of God is sinful men. Look again at the text. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And the rest of this chapter is only giving examples and more assorted descriptions of the sin of human beings. The target of the wrath of God is man in his sinfulness. And specifically, it says the ungodliness of man. I guess you could rephrase that and say the anti-godness of man. Man is against God. Man is the enemy of God. We hate God. And so that's anything that's contrary to God's holy nature. Secondly, unrighteousness. Last week we talked about righteousness. God offers to give us His righteousness because we are unrighteous. And in our unrighteousness, we are the enemy of God. And we deserve the wrath of God. But also notice one little word here. Put your face in the Bible here. It says, against all ungodliness, all unrighteousness. There's no exceptions. People say, well, there's a little sin. Friends, there's no such thing as a little sin. Now, some sins are greater than others, but even the smallest sin deserves the wrath of God Almighty. Everyone is under the wrath of God without exception. Everyone that's ever lived except the Lord Jesus. The Bible says we are children of wrath. And if you are still in your sins, if you are still not converted, you are under the wrath of God. God is angry with you, has been all your life, and is warning you of the future. What does the future hold? John 3:36 is interesting. We all know John 3:16, but you know the last verse in that chapter. It says, he who believes in the Son, that's Jesus, has everlasting life. But he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. What does that mean? A good illustration is taken from a story in ancient Greece. There was a king named Damocles. You ever heard of Damocles the king? Well, some man said, it must be great to be the king, Damocles. And he says, well, come to this banquet. You'll see what it's like. So the man was eating with Damocles at the table and seeing all the lovely food and the servants wait upon him. And then Damocles just said to the guests, look above my head. And he looked high, and hanging from the ceiling by a thread was a razor-sharp sword that could fall at any minute. He says, that's what it's like being king. I could be overthrown at any time. It's like that with the wrath of God. It is hanging over us, and God is shouting to us, turn from sin, because the wrath of God abides over you. And sometime in the future, that sword will fall. One day it will be revealed fully. Romans 2:5 calls it the day of wrath. You see, it's as if all the wrath of God is pent up like water behind a huge dam. But one day it will burst and explode forth in all of its fury against God's enemies. And it'll be too late then to turn. But when it explodes, it won't be like an explosion and it's all over. No. According to the Bible, when it explodes like the breaking of a dam, there's this infinite wrath of God that continues to pour forth into the place that God has prepared where He will vent forth His anger and His wrath. You know what that place is? It's called hell. Hell was created by God is the place where He will vent forth His wrath against unrepentant sinners forever in hell. Friends, this is an awesome subject, the wrath of God, and we trifle with it at our own peril. How should we respond to this awesome truth? If you are an unbeliever, still unconverted, still in your sins, trying to cut a deal with God, still trying to think, well, maybe all this isn't true after all. God's word to you in light of the wrath of God is, don't play games. Fear God. because of the wrath that shall come upon you if you die in your sins. And just like that angel said to Lot and his family as he dragged them out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, he said to them, run for your life. And on the authority of God, I say to you, if you're still in your sins, run for your life. Run for safety. But where are you going to run? Where are you going to run? Are you going to run home? Are you going to hide under the bed? Where are you going to go? When the time of wrath comes, there'll be no place to run. But there is a place of safety. And it's the last place in the world you're going to dream of. You say, God is angry and it's going to come venting forth in my direction, so I run from it. No. Don't run from God, run to God. That's your only hope. The only hope of escaping the wrath of God is running to God and to seek the mercy of God. That's why God warns us. That's why there's still time. Run to God with faith and repentance. And ask for forgiveness. God is our only hope. Friends, run as fast as you can to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God haunt you with this foreboding warning that the wrath of God is abiding over you and that there is still time now before it is too late. Secondly, if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, how should you respond to this? Let me challenge you with something. A lot of Christians say, yes, I believe in the wrath of God, but secretly they wish it wasn't so. I have heard several preachers say this. They'll preach on this and they say, I take no pleasure in this. They say, I wish that there was no such place as hell, but there is. That's a wrong attitude. That is actually blasphemy in disguise. If it's true, we should not say, oh, I wish it was not so. That's challenging the wisdom of God and the holiness of God. But there should be a reaction in believers. We should see the wrath of God. We should tremble. And like the angels and people in the book of Revelation, we should tremble before it. It should give us occasion to worship God. Worship God for His holiness. When was the last time you as a believer worshiped God for His wrath? Not to take a spiteful glee in it, but to worship the holiness of God. Secondly, be humble, fellow believers. Be grateful. Because if you are a child of God, if you have been born again, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God. You have been condemned. And this is what the book of Romans tells us about over and over again. We're no longer under the wrath of God. And all this awesome, fiery anger will never come to us that are His children. So be humble and grateful. And lastly, fellow believers, tremble before it and warn other people about it. Do you know someone in your family, some friend, some relative that is still unconverted? Warn them about this. It's as if they are in a house on fire. Go warn them while there is still time. Warn them of the wrath of God. In Jesus' name, may it be so. Amen. Father, You have warned us. May Your Holy Spirit drive these words deep into our hearts so that we may turn to You in faith and repentance. And we that are believers might thank You that You have saved us from the wrath of God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.